You can be seated. Good morning, Life Community Church. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday. And I got a confession. Usually by the time that we get to the service and Kenny's doing the preaching, I'm pumped up and I'm ready to go. But my worship was a little muted today because I was scared to death that I didn't have this mic off and y'all were going to hear me singing over all those people there. But so we've got God's blessing already because that didn't happen this morning. So I want to welcome all of our regular Sunday morning attendees here. And I also want to welcome any guests that we have this morning. And if you're a first-time guest, grab a packet on the way out. We have a visitor packet there. And I truly hope that your first visit will not be your last. Another point of business. I am not Kenny Rager. If you didn't know that, Kenny is in a hurricane somewhere in the mountains of Tennessee. So we want to pray for them that they survive that. But normally, Kenny's who you'll see up here on any given Sunday. And Kenny and the Taryn and the girls have been on a very, very much deserved vacation this week. And we're excited for them to get back next week. And I'm honored to be here this morning. My name's Carl Cole. I'm one of the deacons here at Life Community Church, and they've given us free reign today. The pastor's not here. Our normal worship leader's not here. I'm the only deacon here, so it's a party and a free-for-all this morning. So nobody's recording this, right? So if anything we do, it is being recorded, so we got to mind our P's and Q's there. So it's my honor and pleasure to be with you on this first Sunday of Advent and bringing you the message this morning. And I know I'm a little bit overdressed for normal life community. Somebody was giving me a hard time about that. But my mom is here today, and she likes to see me dressed up nicely. So this is for mom, so y'all have to deal with that this morning. So also, since I'm not Kenny Rager, there may be fewer Star Wars references during this sermon than you all are accustomed to. But I'll try to work a couple in. So Booker, you can kind of keep tabs on how many Star Wars references I make. And let Kenny know that I have fulfilled that quota for him. I also want to thank Chalmer and Sherry for sharing the scripture and the prayer this morning for the light in the first Advent candle. Because Sherry and Chalmer mean a lot to me. They're in our life group, and I've gotten to know them very well. And we appreciate that and the concern and the honor that you brought that this morning. So thank you all. Kenny gave us an introduction to what Advent means, and Advent is from the Latin word that means coming. I don't know how much you were able to hear with the wind blowing, but during these next 4 weeks, we remember Israel's hope for the coming of God's Messiah to save and to forgive and to restore, and we also remember the hope we have for the second coming of Christ, and we prepare to welcome Christ into our world and into our hearts. And something else I'm going to make a disclaimer of, and y'all need to make note of this morning, is that I'm not a preacher. I'm a construction superintendent. And there's not a lot of things that I do at my paying job that that translate into bringing you this message this morning. I've never really seen myself as a preacher, as is Kenny's calling, and a very gifted calling at that. Although my wife and kids might tell you that I spend a lot of time preaching to them, so they may disagree that I'm not a preacher, but we have heard over the last few weeks that we're all ministers and we're all priests in some way, shape, and form and able to reach people in our sphere of influence, but a calling to preach is different. I feel like that I'm more of a teacher, and the majority of the corporate worship and service to Christ has been either as a Sunday school teacher or a life group leader, or a small group leader, and things like that. That's where I'm comfortable with. So I like having feedback from the group, which is today you all, even though it's a little bit bigger group than I'm used to. So I'm not always comfortable hearing my own voice. When I stop talking, it gets real quiet, and that makes me a little bit nervous. So to break the ice, I need everyone to repeat after me this morning so I know that I'm going to get some participation back, okay? So I want you to say amen. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say hope.
Hope.
All right, that's awesome. So I know you can participate. So when the time comes to throw a hand up, right, throw a hand up in there too. Okay. All right, we're all there. And I'll try to keep everybody awake as we go along too. So We're calling the series of messages for this Advent season, From the Cradle to the Cross. And I'm going to explore that a bit today. And the rest of the message that Kenny's going to bring over the next 3 weeks leading to Christmas, we'll continue to unpack that with what I do today. Today's message is going to focus on the hope of Advent. And I don't have an outline this morning in the bulletin. The sermon, as you're going to hear it today, has been ready for about 24 hours. Not quite, but almost. Which is just how I roll. And Rob Thomason, as awesome as he is, he needs a little more time than that to get those bullet points in the bulletin. But there is a sheet in the program with some notes. I'll give you some bullets so you write those down whenever I tell you to write those down, and I encourage you to do so. The scripture basis for this week that was read by Sherry a while ago was from Jeremiah 33, verses 14, 15, and 16. And I'm going to read those again to you, and I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Kenny usually does the Holman Christian Standard, but this is the Bible I have, and I wasn't going to go buy the other one just for this day. So we're going to read out of English Standard Version, Jeremiah 33, verse 14. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you move me out of the way this morning, Father, that your message comes through clear, that you give us ears to hear, and you soften our hearts to absorb this message, Father. And if you see fit that you want to change the words that I have written down, Father, give me the courage to follow that. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So, that is now the second time that you've heard those sets of scriptures. So, who gets that passage there in Jeremiah? If you get it, raise your hand up. So, anybody that's raised their hand up can come up here and help me because I had trouble with them things. Kenny had given me some suggestions for the scriptures to use. And I read those, and the first time I read it, I was like, yeah, not using that one. I'll find something else. Like Chalmers said, how many of the hope verses did you say you found? Several other verses that actually say hope in them, and this one doesn't. But if you don't get it, don't feel bad, because I read through it several times, and I still find it a bit challenging, and I feel inadequate to explain it correctly. But in your Bible or Bible app that you might be using there, is the word branch or righteous branch capitalized in your Bible that you have there? Mine, in the English Standard Version, the branch is capitalized. Anybody else's like that? My mom says yes, hers is. I think in the King James Version, I think it says branch of righteousness instead of righteous branch. But that branch is the Messiah King. And it's a further reinforcement, if you go back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, of the Davidic covenant there. So, if you're even further confused, as I started reading through and got further confused, I'm going to give you a full expository explanation of these verses today, so that when you leave, you understand what that underlying message is in those verses, okay? Are you ready for a good expository teaching from Carl Cole from the pulpit this morning? All right, hold on. These verses mean hope. The verses mean hope. And now the ushers can come and I'm done. That's it. No, I'm kidding. When I read those verses, I did have trouble deciphering what they meant. And as I got through and as I was praying about, man, what do I use? And I still hadn't decided as of midday Friday. And then Chalmer calls me and says, hey, what verses are we going to read? So I'm like, okay, we're doing these. And that kind of hammered me into, yeah, we're using these. But God kind of told me that as you go through that stuff and as you read scriptures, we don't always understand everything we read. But almost always there is a simple underlying message within those verses. And that's what that is today. It's hope. And it is that simple. God's making a promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And the promises of something better to come, not easier, but better. And I like to go through and I like to kind of replace my name in some scriptures and get a better understanding of what I'm reading. And I'm going to read that with my name put in a few places there. And I encourage you to do that. We're not perverting the scriptures or changing the meaning of the scriptures. It's just kind of bringing it, making it real to you and everything. So let me read it to you like this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to Carl. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for Carl, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Carl will be saved, and Carl will dwell securely. Now, that's not what the scripture says, but when I read it that way, it makes it a little more intimate to me, and it means more to me. And feel free to do that a lot of times. You can go back to Isaiah 11. I think Kenny might have preached in this during last year. But if you flip back to Isaiah 11, instead of talking about a branch at the beginning, it talks about a shoot. And I'm going to read that real quick for you too. Isaiah 11 verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. So that first verse there where it talks about the stump of Jesse and a branch, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of a Jesse tree. It's kind of like an Advent calendar. We do that with our family, kind of the Christmas story kind of broken down day by day, starting all the way from Jesse. Now, Jesse was David's father, and that's kind of how it ties in. That's whose line the Messiah was to come, and it's another promise of hope. So do you see how kind of that stuff starts tying together very neatly, very perfectly through this book? But I want to stay focused this morning and not get too caught up in that, but I want to stay focused on the message and the word of the day, and that's hope. And these verses are an example of hope, just as the key verses in Jeremiah were also about hope. So the question of the day is this: where is your hope? And better yet, my life group probably knows me enough. I've got kind of a term and phrase I like to throw out there. Let's make it personal. And I want to make it personal for each one of you here this morning, this message, okay? And I want you to repeat after me: where is my hope? Where is my hope? Probably you all were sitting around Thursday afternoon, and you remember seeing big wads of these, right? Ads, Big Lots, Targets, Academy Sports, Best Buy, one of my favorite ones I like to browse through. And this one, the Walmart one, Special Buy, 50-inch TV, $269. We scored that one, so I'm happy about that. But our society, and many of us sitting here today, we put our hopes in gifts and stuff that we can buy. And we've dedicated a whole daggone day to it, Black Friday. And it's even bled into Gray Thursday and Cyber Monday. And just to satisfy our desire to get this stuff cheap. And like I said, we do it too. I sit around on Thursday afternoon and we read through these and we figure out where we're going to go. We're going to get some deals and things like that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to want this stuff and to get this stuff, because I want it too. But we use the same mentality that we pursue these sales with, and we often transpose that way of thinking onto our faith. I mean that we've got God cornered by and represented by a day of the week, and only an hour or two that day. We're not all in with our faith. If I put the same fervor and intensity into my hope in Christ as I put into the hope for that TV, or if I poured through the scriptures the same way I poured through those sales ads on Thursday afternoon, you might have gotten an expository teaching today. But a lot of others less fortunate would have some hope in us as the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. And we can start changing the world that way. And it seems like I can't change the world. You can. We can if we just change our focus and put some of that faith and hope in Christ. So I encourage you to stop putting your hope in what money can buy, what you can get, and what we think other people want us to have. And God wants us to have our hope in Him. One of the speakers on the last Emmaus Walk said that no thing makes you happy. And you think it does. But often there's kind of a God-shaped hole there in our hearts that we can't fill with things like cars and shoes and guns and tools and clothes and houses or whatever it is. Things that will never truly fill that hole. Only a hope in Christ will fill that hole. So the first bullet that I want you to write down is, my hope is not in stuff. And write "not" in all capital letters. My hope is not in stuff. And I want to tie that back to our scripture today that a righteous branch is promised for us, okay? Our hope is not in stuff. We've got a righteous branch that's promised to it. So once again, I want you to ask yourself and repeat after me, where is my hope? This time of year, we'll also put extra pressure on ourselves to perform, to cook the turkey just right, to prepare the food just right, to have the house looking just right. And this time of year, particularly between Thanksgiving and Christmas a lot of times, when we as believers should be rejoicing in the hope that the birth of Christ and things like that bring, instead of hope, many of us feel like we're hopeless. And even though as Christians and believers, we should be very thankful and realize more than those that aren't, the hope that the birth of our Savior gives us. The pressures of the gift buying, family stress. Anybody have family stress when they come over and stuff like that? I took note of everybody that raised their hands too. But family stress, finances this time of year, or lack of finances, will bring stress. But that makes us tag on less to that hope that we should have this time of year. And hopelessness is not a feeling that God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to feel hopeless. It's a tool that the enemy uses against us. The enemy uses life and family and expectations and our pride to make us feel like that we can handle all that stuff against us. And we let him. We do it consistently. I'm guilty of it. It's something Shelley battles. But the direct result from that is that we feel hopeless and we stop trusting in God's truth. And we start trusting in our own ability to pull things out and make everything work out. It's false thinking and lies is what that is. So the next bullet that I want you to write down is, my hope is not in me. Okay? My hope is not in me. And again, to reflect back to the text, a just and righteous branch is our hope. I just want to keep hearing that over and over this morning. So, where is my hope? Repeat it again. Where is my hope? And as we repeat that, I want you to really look inside, and I want you to think about where's your hope. But hope has two basic meanings when found in the Bible. Number one, it's a sense of eager anticipation or waiting. A sense of eager anticipation or waiting. For our kids, it may look like, I hope Santa comes and brings what I want for Christmas. A Yeti Roadie cooler. That's what I want, actually. Sorry. That was mine. Carson's got a list of about 48 things that he wants for Christmas there. But it's a sense of eager anticipation or waiting. We all know that. We've all used the word hope in that sense. It also means a sense of confident expectation based on a certainty. A sense of confident expectation based on certainty. So for Kenny Rager, that hope might be that I hope Luke is in the new Star Wars since Han Solo and Princess Leia is in there too. So he's seen on the trailers. He knows Princess Leia and Han Solo are going to be there, so that's his certainty. So he's hoping Luke's going to be in there too, I'm sure. I don't know if he is or not, but those are the two things that and meanings that we have for hope in there. A biblical hope, which is the hope we should have, is secured by God's faithfulness to his promises. And that's exactly, Chalmer, you know, we didn't talk before, but, you know, that hope and that faith go together, and they're very inseparable. And hope's one of those little short words that we use, and we almost dilute to the point, you know, we hope that, you know, we get a lollipop at the bank, and we hope for this, and we hope for that, kind of like we do with love. It's hard for us to, we use the word so much, it gets diluted, and we kind of lose the real shining and powerful meaning behind that word. But for Old Testament leaders, their hope was in the Messiah's arrival and trust in the covenants and prophecies, just like we read earlier. That's where their hope was. They heard those, and they had hope, and they felt like that those things were coming. They had faith that those things, were coming. For us, it's in the hope of the Messiah's return. The hope of Christmas and its meaning for believers, it's not wishful thinking. It is God-breathed scripture and historical fact that we have Christmas and what that Christmas means to us. C.S. Lewis wrote that the birth of Christ is the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story has been about. And that's very true, but that's not where it ends. If I said, who wants this gift, who would raise their hand and say they want it? Carson won. Bruce, sorry. I would want to come get this gift. I don't know what's in it. Don't care what's in it, but it's free. And I'm willing to give it to you. So you want to come get it? Sure, we'd come and get it. There's more that God wants you to have, too. He's got a gift that he wants you to have also. Okay? The neat thing is, and what blows me away all the time, is that God often begins with small things and inadequate people. And that gives me, and it should give each one of you sitting here this morning, hope that he can use us, he can use me, a sinner, inadequate, unwise, sometimes and oftentimes lacking in my faith. He can use me and has proved over time and again that if I trust him and make myself available, he'll use me in a mighty way, in an extraordinary way. And speaking of extraordinary or ordinary, the birth of Christ was certainly not an ordinary beginning. And his death on the cross was not an ordinary ending. And they were then and are most assuredly now opportunities for hope. Okay? Those were both opportunities for hope and new beginnings for each one of us here. Opportunities, and not just a hope for a better day or for less pain or for more money or for a different job. It's a chain-breaking hope that the limits of our lives are not nearly as narrow as we think them to be. Did you hear that? It's a chain-breaking hope that the limits are not of our lives are not nearly as narrow as we think them to be. You know, last Sunday evening, Jared kind of had a commissioning service. And part of that service was, I think it was breaking chains. And Jared has had a glimpse, and many of us others in here have had a glimpse of, there's a whole lot more that God wants us to do besides what the path that we often put ourselves on. And sometimes that's scary to know maybe what that path is, but it's not nearly as narrow as we think it is. God is willing to use us in a limitless way. And it's a hope that promises God has us in his hands and better things are to come. And once again, not easier, but better. Actually, the best thing we can think of. You know, if our hope is only in our circumstances, man, we're going to always be disappointed. if we're hoping that that next purchase we make, that next bite of food we take, that next pornographic video that we watch, the next high that we get, the next workout that we do, the next affair that we have, the next raise that we get. If you're thinking any of those are going to fill that void you've got, you're not going to be satisfied, and you're continually going to feel hopeless. So, that is why we hope not in circumstances and not in other things to provide hope, but we find hope in God. He's continually, throughout 66 books and thousands of years, revealed himself to be a God of newness, a God of possibility, a God of redemption, a God of recovery, a God of transformation beyond what we can imagine. And the best example of this hope is the crucifixion itself. You know, the shadow of the cross falls even on the manger. And we lose sight of that sometimes. And then followed, of course, by the resurrection. Because, you know, we've called this series From the Cradle to the Cross for a reason. You can't have one without recognizing the others. And it's all woven together in what's called the greatest story ever told. This time of year, we contemplate that hope. And this time of year, it's embodied in a baby wrapped in cloth and born in a manger. The perfect example of newness, perfect example of potential, the perfect example of possibility, and a hope that a Savior first came as an infant, and the certainty that He is risen and He's going to come again. And once again, I want a bullet for you to write down. And this is important when you can circle it once you write it down. My hope is in Christ. My hope is in Christ. And once again, to pull it back to our scripture bullet this morning, my hope is a branch that has saved me and that I'm held secure by. So, kind of as me and Kenny were brainstorming on this, man, I've got my favorite Christmas song that I think adequately sums up the hope that we've discussed today. And I want to share it with you this morning. They got it on the video here. It's by a group named Go Fish. And it's titled, It's About the Cross. And I'd like you to listen closely to the words as it's played. And if you all want to turn the lights down there too while it's on.
Not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. About the presence underneath the tree.
I watch that song like 6 times yesterday, and I cry every time I watch it. It's not just about the manger. It's not just about the angels. It's not just about the shepherds. It's not just about the wise men. It's not just about the presents. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about God's love. Nailed to a tree. And the part that gets me every time, it's about each drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life, real hope someday. About the cross. And if you think that there isn't a plan in place and perfection in this book, let's review what we heard today. A shoot in Isaiah, a branch in Jeremiah, a tree in the song, and a cross right here, and a gift. A gift that box can't hold. The grave couldn't hold it. And those who've suffered, as many as you have in here and someday through a loss or whatever, those who've suffered and still hope, you understand what faith is. That's what hope is. It's a way to live authentically and intentionally amid all the problems in life, and yet continuing to see the possibility when there's not any present evidence of it, just because God is God. So if your hope is in anything except Christ this morning, then I want you to come to this altar. And as the band gets ready to come up and we get ready to have our invitation, I want to stress that just because Kenny Rager isn't here doesn't mean you can't come down this morning. God has a gift he wants you to have, a gift of eternal life. And I want you to come up, and I encourage you to come to this altar, to come to the cross. And if you need to rededicate yourself, rededicate yourself. If you've got some kind of false hope, bring it up and put it down there this morning. And if you need to make a profession of faith, do that this morning. Don't wait. Come now. And receive the gift. I'm going to pray. Father God, your message of hope is just mind-blowing sometimes, Father. And we hang our hope on so many things throughout the day, throughout the weeks, throughout the years, Father. But, Father, let's hear this message this morning through these scriptures, through the song, Father, that our hope is in you, Father. And if somebody's just unnecessarily carrying around those burdens, we want them to come up this morning. Father, give them hope to you. Put it down here at this cross, Father. Let them lay that false hope down and let them pick up the true hope, which is you, Father. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you need to come forward, pray. Jared and Brad are up here. We'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you need to make a profession of faith, come now. Now's the time.